Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Jedediah Collins, I am the founder here at Money Vehicle. My journey truly began about 15 years ago as I ventured into the National Football League as a rookie. I got my first paycheck and really got humbled and realized how little I understood about this language of money. You know, my story goes that I actually spent the entirety of it before I even deposited into my bank account. Now, cute, I bought an engagement ring. 15 years later, she's still around. So it was a good investment, but it was a very poor financial behavior. Getting money and spending money was the path to become the statistics of professional athletes, which is the vast majority end up going broke or falling on financial hardship. So I set out on a personal journey. I went into bookstores, started to grab the gurus and the greats, Robert Kiyosaki, Susie Orman, Dave Ramsey, until I finally got challenged by a mentor who said, "Jed, you want to learn this language. I can hand you fish all day long, but if you really want to be successful in money, you got to teach yourself how to fish." And so I started studying for the certification in financial planning while I was playing in the NFL. And upon retiring, I went straight into wealth management. It was in wealth management when I was out delivering workshops and talking to students, high school, college, professional, that I really realized my passion was in helping people start their journey, not necessarily helping a wealthy family double or increase their wealth as they go forward. And so I went down this wealth management path, focusing on financial literacy, and I started creating Money Vehicle and writing my first textbook. Finally, I got challenged by another individual who said, "This is a great message, and you can stand and talk to rooms, but how are you going to change the world? How will you impact a million students?" And so that was about 7 years ago. And every day since then, my question in my head has been, I can go, I get to talk to NFL teams. I was just with the Denver Broncos on Monday, the Colts last week, the Lions the week before. I get to stand and teach these students in person. But students like yourselves, students in every part of the country and every part of the world, I don't get to walk into their classroom. How was I going to impact and empower them? It was going to come from creating a financial technology company. It was going to come from changing the educational lane and really presenting how students learn today through a video atmosphere and, more importantly, through an interactive and applicable project that makes the curriculum about them. And so this has been a long time coming, but I'm very proud to say 15 years ago in my journal, which, if any of you are going to take something away from me, never be very far from a journal. In my journal on June 21st, 2008, I have it printed above my desk. I wrote that I wanted to come back and teach young Jed the language of money, Jed the NFL rookie. I'm getting to do that today, but on my journey, my dream has shifted, it's changed, and it's grown to where now I don't want to just teach NFL players. I want to teach you, and I want to teach a million people how to speak this language and how to truly take ownership of their money vehicle as they go set out into the world. And so that's where we are today. You're connecting with me as the curriculum is growing, as the empowerment of the individuals in person is growing. And truly today, I get to be one of the lucky few who say, I chased a passion. It has not been fun. It has not been easy. If you want to be an entrepreneur, ask me questions about that. But today, that vision, that dream is coming to fruition every day.
That's great. Great. Thank you for sharing all that. And we have a lot of questions, both questions about awesome. Your career in the NFL, both questions, also questions about your career as a financial educator. And guys, if you want to learn more, check out yourmoneyvehicle.com and we'll have that link in the video. So we have a question from France, and this is Gregory. Gregory, you can be able to unmute to ask you a really good question, Fred.
Yes. Hi. So, can you hear me?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. So my question is that, do you have to go to university again in order to get a diploma such as an MBA or something like this to become what you are today?
Great question. So to get an MBA, Master's in Business, yes, you have to go to undergrad first and go through that schooling. What I have is called a CFP, Certification in Financial Planning. This is an expertise in personal finance. And if you look at a CFA as somebody who is a master of business finance, I went to college in university at Washington State. I was a business major. I did accounting. I was able to take 100,000 widgets and fill in financial statements. But the question I was asked was, here's $100,000. What are you going to do with it for your family? And so the CFP process is what's going to take you through the subjects and topics of personal finance, make you a master of many, but not really a focus on any individual one. The requirements to do that, yes, you have to have a university degree. And then beyond that, you're going to have, I believe it was 2,000 hours in the actual financial planning and financial process. So there is an education piece where you have to pass the exam and have an undergraduate degree, and then the application or experience part where you have to have about 2,000 hours in the field. So it is a huge opportunity. We hear these baby boomers, this generation getting older, who controls a lot of, if not most of, the wealth. And they are transitioning the money to either their children, their spouses, their wives. Women are coming into more and more money every year. And so the opportunity for people, young, old, to enter into this financial planning process, especially for young females, is really growing, because this expertise until today was not a subject taught in school. And so many people are looking for someone to explain and then someone to help manage their financial scenarios.
That's great. And there's definitely a need for that, you know, with at least here in America. I know a lot of kids are around the world right now, but here in America, they do what's called teach towards the test, or towards these common core standards where it's just math, science, and English. And there's nothing in there about life skills. And so that's where, Jed, why it's so important. Again, guys, check out yourmoneyvehicle.com. But we have a question from Paul. Paul is in Spain. Paul, you can unmute to ask.
Hi. My question is, when you were playing at NFL, did you have a big pressure playing in a big team?
Did I have what playing for
pressure.
The team?
Did you feel pressure?
Absolutely. Paul, that is a great question. So pressure is a privilege. And that's a quote I love to hear. I believe Arthur Ashe was the first one to say it. But the more you understand about pressure, the more you see it as an opportunity. Not many people get to feel pressure, because not many people have put their heart, their soul, their time, and their sweat into something. But once you realize, not just being a part of a team, but as an individual, this was a lifelong dream. This was something that I did not get to just stumble into professional sports. It took me a decade to be able to enter that realm. The pressure was felt every Sunday. And truly, in the NFL, the pressure is felt every Tuesday, because that's cut day. My journey and my story is, I got to go and play 7 years, as you heard me mention. But I was cut 13 times chasing this dream in the NFL. So I failed and was told no 13 different times as I was going down this path. I ended up becoming the number one rated fullback, best player in my position, making me the best in the NFL and arguably the best in the world at what I was doing. But it was not before getting cut a dozen times. So the pressure is massive. The pressure is always around you, because there is a big line out the door of people who want to take your job, your role. And for somebody like myself who came in, I wasn't a big name. I wasn't drafted very high. I came in, I had to measure each rep and each opportunity, not just Sundays on the game day, but Wednesday in practice, August during training camp. Every day for me was an interview. I would look at it all the way back in April. We didn't have pads on. We were just in the building. Every day I felt that pressure to go find somebody, build a relationship, add value to someone or something in that building. But it was that mindset that allowed me the confidence to become an entrepreneur. And it was the ability to handle that pressure and to see it as a privilege and see it as an opportunity to continue to press myself into avenues and areas that I would have never done had I not felt that. But Yes, professional sports is arguably the most stressful and pressure-induced activity. And come fourth quarter, when you know the eyes of 80,000 people are watching you and the eyes of the world beyond that, you definitely feel a sense of ownership in knowing this is what you've built up for, but it is also the moment that you have to produce and perform. And that's why the greats, you get to smile and say, why do we want Tom Brady or a guy I got to play with named Drew Brees? Why do you want them to have the ball? They welcome that pressure. They know everything they have done, both mentally and physically, is to prepare them for that moment. And the other person is the one that really should be worried because they're very comfortable with that pressure.
And you deal with a different kind of pressure now. Just but we were talking about personally about leaving a legacy, and that yours is a massive impact where you have that goal of financially educating millions of students. And I wanted to know what actually kind of like what has been one of your most memorable moments on that journey of that second career that you kind of created.
Absolutely. So one of them came actually this morning. I had a educator reach out and tell me from our curriculum and from our program, students like yourselves were taking our family conversations into their home, and the parents were reaching back out to the teacher and sharing all the cool elements and items that they are talking about in their household. So to me, it is a small example of how our mission is to not teach just in a classroom. Our mission is to get students to take this conversation outside and beyond that classroom and into their home lives. But as I look at really what we are here to do, it is to go beyond education and to truly go into application. And I remember about 4 years ago when we first started really getting schools to use the curriculum, one of the teachers called me and said, I have somebody here who wants to talk to you. And a young woman got on the phone and it explained to me some of her background. She did not come from a very high socioeconomic level. She had never had a stable living space. She had never spoken to her fa parents and her family about money. And she, with pride, started to express to me how she had just got back from opening her first savings account and making her first deposit in there. That was 4 years ago. I actually had that teacher email me over the summer and say how great and how much she has progressed. But it was in that moment that I realized making money is very important. Making money as a business is vital. It is your lifeblood. Making an impact is priceless. Making an impact on someone's life is something that is going to stick with me forever. And so as I look at the pressure, as I look at the opportunity, as I look at why I walked away from a good career in football and a really successful opportunity in financial planning, is I'm chasing that element where so many people are lost in their 40s, in their 50s. So many people are lost now in their 20s saying, I want to feel a purpose. I went out on a limb, I chased a passion, and I found a purpose. And that's really what I get to see the rewarding part of what we're doing here. Is seeing it through the students' eyes and seeing the application that they're going to take into their lives.
That's brilliant. That's the Mark Twain quote, the two most important days of your life, the day you're born and the day you find out why. And you found your why.
I
You found your why. So we have
have
a
not heard
question.
that.
We'll go with a few more student questions and then let you go.
Please.
Tomas is in Poland. Tomas, you had a question about his football career. We'll pop back to that. Go ahead and ask, friend. Oh, try and unmute again.
Okay. So hello, my name is Tomek. I'm from Poland, and I wanted to ask, what was it like to play against or with the best American football players like, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Alex Smith, and are you in touch with them or something right now?
I still stay connected. So, yes, I get to go and travel through a partnership with the NFL. I get to go into a lot of these buildings still and go and do my workshops, but build those relationships. Tomas, what I will say the best part of playing in the NFL, again, I was a very minimal piece of that big puzzle, but I saw it as being a lucky fly on the wall in an opportunity around greatness. And I will say this. Anytime you are around greatness, steal from them. And I don't say that word steal lightly, and I don't want you to go out and literally steal things, but I mean take from them everything you can. I walked away with a process and a mindset I call rookie to veteran, where I looked around at each individual. Each time I got cut, team came in, said, turn in your playbook, clean out your locker, and go home. On that plane ride home, in my journals, I would start writing and capturing what a 15-year offensive lineman, what a 20-year kicker, what a 10-year safety, people who were not playing my position, but what they were doing, how they represented. Of course, you look at the quarterbacks, they are living and breathing habits. You want to find success repeatedly, build out your habits. And so, what I love to say is my opportunity in that lane, I stole greatness. Three words I saw on 12 different rooms and buildings as I walked into NFL environments were be a pro. What I came to find out what be a pro really stood for was I had to create confidence in myself. First part is create confidence. I had to believe. The second one was build trust. That trust within the team. As I looked around the room, as I looked at the coaches, the scouting department, they had to trust not only who I was when I showed up, but that I was going to be able to perform and produce and do the job. And the last one was a mindset I shared a little earlier, add value. I create confidence. I believe I should be here. I build trust. My team believes in me. But as I look at adding value, that is something you take into every building, every opportunity you can. I put my name on something, I take ownership of it, and I make sure it is at a standard and an element of a professional. That thing could be as simple as an email, could be a client, could be a project. But as you look at becoming a professional, as you look at going into this next era of your life, you are going to identify the first person who has to believe you can do this is yourself. If you're going on a journey of 1,000 miles, the first person that's going to believe you can arrive there is you. But then you need to find your team. You need to build that trust. Stephen Covey actually communicates it as a financial concept. Every relationship has a trust tax or a trust dividend. That trust either takes away or adds to your relationship. And so as you look at your team, ask yourself, is this a tax or is this a dividend? And then that mindset of just adding value. Every day you walk in, can I add value to somebody above me, somebody below me, one of my peers, one of our clients? Where can I do it? As an entrepreneur, I have to do everything from take out the trash to land the biggest client to make sure our biggest customer is happy. You have to continue to look through that element and that phase of how do I take from the greats? The greats have those mindsets. They are never content and they are always questioning, how do I improve? And so that is really one of the biggest things I was able to take away from being around the best in the world.
Solid, solid. So we'll go with a couple more student questions and let you go. Is that all right?
Oh, brother, I'm in for this. This is great.
All right. We got Laura. Laura, I believe, is in Spain. You had a good question. Go ahead and unmute to ask. There
Hey,
you go.
hope you're doing good. My question for you is, do you ever have like a really big injury and like had to stop playing? And you have how you feel? Like how you
I,
felt?
the hard part about football is from the first day of pads, usually at the end of July, beginning of August, everybody hurts. Football is a very violent sport. It is one of the reasons I chose to walk away. I had my first daughter and I saw a young man get knocked unconscious and realized that physically I was not willing to take that risk. As I look at the injuries, you can start at my feet, work all the way up to my head and my brain. Yes, every part of my body was hurt, damaged, and injured. I broke bones. I had concussions. I had arms ripped out of its socket, a helmet go in and through my knee. You have to get surgeries and have to get repaired. But as you look at it, dealing with injuries is no different than dealing with failure. And if I identify myself as anything, it's I'm a great failure. And a lot of people hesitate and are concerned or worried about that idea of what if I get injured? What if I fail? The reality is, nothing is final unless you make it final. Failure, injuries are feedback. Feedback is power. Power is, or excuse me, feedback is knowledge and knowledge is power. And so, as you look at an injury, as you look at a failure, what you realize is what can I learn from it? in several of my injuries, I was out of place. I was either not as focused or not as present as I should or could have been. Maybe I was out of shape and I was just a little bit of a misstep. Those are how you can start. There are always the injuries that just are flukes, happen, and that's a part of the sport. But as you look at an injury, as you look at failure, you really start to interpret, I don't control it anymore. It's in the past. What can I do today? Today, I can come back and I can take just a little bit of an edge and an advantage. And as I look at that, it reminds me of another concept that I took from players. A 16-year linebacker started talking about the power of inches and that each day he comes in and steals inches. He actually just came back from an injury. He was on IR the year before, and he said, every day I wanted to be healthy again, but I knew I was never going to be all the way there that day. But today I took 1%. Today I took one step. Today I got 1 inch of my health back. That's how you recover from an injury. That's how you respond to a failure. Again, do not be defeated by an injury or a failure. Fail, FAIL, stands for first attempt in learning. An injury gives you a moment to relax, a moment to review, and really a moment to start to ask yourself, now that I'm building up again, how do I want to build my foundation? So I had to deal with, overcome a lot of random injuries. My rookie year, I actually got my appendix out after it burst. So I had to go through that surgery. And that's a terrible first introduction to a new team. But beyond that, as I came out of the hospital, as I was able to go back to things, I asked myself that question, what is something I can do today to improve? That's how you recover from an injury. That's how you recover from a failure. And that's how you move forward, inch by inch. Over time, you will see those inches stack up. In the financial world, those inches are going to be compared to compound interest. But it is a mindset that allows you to say, I don't need to go on a 100-mile journey in one day. All I got to do is take the right step and head in the right direction. And believe me, with time, everybody will see where I'm going.
Man, I know you have financial literacy books, but I hope you write a biography with all of your journaling. That would be interesting to read,
I love it.
especially as a Lions fan. Go Lions! I want to
There you
go.
go.
But again, guys, if you want to learn more about Jed and his work, check out yourmoneyvehicle.com. We have one more student question. This is from Mexico. It's Jimena. I hope I said that right. Go ahead and unmute to ask. I know Jed touched on failure, but I wanted her to ask this one and to follow
Ooh.
up.
Hi, I'm from Mexico. My name is Jimena, and I wanted to ask about how does someone that is planning on putting up a business take or embrace the pressure of failing, of putting it up?
Here's the cold truth. You're going to fail. That's something you have to accept. One, as an entrepreneur, to do something, you are saying, I either want to do something that has never been done before or something better than everyone else that is out there. The first thing everybody is going to tell you is Coca-Cola is out there. Don't start a new soft drink. There is always going to be an industry leader. I'm actually in an environment in a market today where we're kind of creating the marketplace. Financial literacy has not been an adopted market because there was never a requirement and a need. So we are ahead of a market. And so as you look at becoming an entrepreneur, I have another note above my desk that says, get 100 no's. You have to lose this fear of failure. Failure, again, is feedback. It's an answer. Failure can give you guidance and direction. Defeat, walking away, quitting, that's unacceptable. But failing, you fail forward. You get that feedback. You understand what it's telling you. The best thing you can have from a audience, from your clients, is what you're doing wrong, because that's how you're going to get better. In professional sports, nobody learns from winning. People learn from losing. Being an entrepreneur is the same way. I have to go get 100 no's because I have to understand why those people don't even have the time to look at or are going to purchase what I want to sell. But I wouldn't understand that if the first three people said yes. What were their hurdles? They didn't have hurdles. They said yes. Get 100 no's makes me, one, comfortable with this notion that you are going to be told no, you are going to be told you're crazy, and you are crazy. But connected with crazy usually is crazy genius. You look at the people who have gone and done and changed the world, They've been able to take in what their vision is and beyond the failures, beyond the people, beyond the naysayers, have been able to maintain that vision in their mind. I believe I can do this. When I was in the NFL, I had to stare into a mirror repeatedly saying to myself, I can be an NFL player. I can be the best fullback on this team. Today, as I build a business, I wasn't prepared. I didn't go to school. Nobody taught me how to grow an education technology company. But every day that I falter, every day I get concerned, I come back to that mirror and I look at it and I say, I can do this. I'm passionate, I'm hungry, but more importantly, I'm not going to quit. And if you know you are going to see this thing through and you are going to continue to take it to the element that you see, that believe me, nobody can see other than you, that's when you know you've become an entrepreneur. And that's when you know you are chasing something bigger than yourself. And so as you look at that entrepreneurial spirit, realize only the crazy ones take the jump, only the disciplined ones survive. But as you see it, you are going to fail. As a company, as a business, maybe the odds are stacked against you. You know that going into it. But you look at it and ask yourself, in 5 years, will I have regretted not trying? Regret comes from the lack of an answer. Failure is at least an answer. I tried. I went down that path. Did it not work? It didn't work. But I learned. And anytime you learn from a failure, it's a blessing. So that's why I look at it like I can't lose because I'm either going to win or I'm going to learn. And each time I do that, I take that inch, I progress a little bit forward, and I really realize I have to reinterpret that word failure. You are going to fail. And if you don't, you never did anything good. You barely even touched doing something great. Welcome failure, especially when you're young. It is going to be the greatest teacher and the greatest lessons for you. I look at my financial journey. It began because I failed with money. I spent and blew my first paycheck. But as I interpreted that concept, as I looked at that failure, I started to realize this was the path I wanted to go down. And I corrected where I went wrong. As an entrepreneur, welcome failure, welcome feedback, and welcome the opportunity to see your dream come to fruition.
Solid, solid advice. I love it. What is that? Abraham Lincoln, the best way to predict the future is to create it. And you touched on that, man. So guys, again, check out yourmoneyvehicle.com. That's Jed's company. And please follow us on social media as Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all that kind of stuff. Before I let you go, Jed, I traditionally allow everyone to unmute and say thank you to our guests, and then I'll end the meeting for all. So can we all say thank you to Jedediah Collins for taking time out of
Thank
your
you.
Thank
you
very
Thank
much.
you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan,
Thank
you want to
you.
say thank you? Go reach out to
Thank
me on LinkedIn or follow us on social media,
you.
and follow the Money Vehicle Movement as we grow.
You got it. You heard it. See you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
Thank you.